They weren't making bits there that I can remember.
That was quite a long time ago, too.
Yeah, it was vacant.
Okay, now what do you remember?
In fact, what's his name? Had just moved in there, I think. George Bullard, when it burned down. The first night he moved in there, it burned down. Bullard, this manufacturer, the brazier wheels out there.
What year did we determine when the underwear factory and the shoe factory burned down on Milk Street?
That was 47, I think.
Talking about the VFW, the highway department. I was working there in the office the day of that fire.
Okay.
That's according to the fire station was burning.
I gave them to go up to the fire station.
Yeah. They said it was in 1947, March 47. But what do you remember about those factories in the 40s? Let's go to the 40s now. This is the war, just before the war.
Well, the Dana Marcus Masons on Brigham Street. I worked there, the only job I never had that wasn't in an office.
What was
that? For wall work. They were subcontracting to make, it was a sideline, because their basic trade, Marcus Mason, was... farming these moles and things, But they took on this special government contract, and they were making units that were part of the radar. It'd be like one component.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up to be about the size of a table model television.
Hmm.
And they recruited 10 of us girls as an assembly line to
just
when we got through, we'd have the whole unit assembled. And then it would have to be inspected and mm-hmm. what have you.
What else do you remember about the war years here? What did families have to do or about the war? Did anybody
well,
Red
we had blackouts for a while. We had, of course, our railway wardens. We had what was then called civilian defense, which is now civil defense, who I worked for 20 years and retired a while ago.
Mm-hmm. How did that affect your daily living, let's say?
I would say the biggest way that we were affected in daily living, because at that point, during World War II, because I was a teenager,
mm-hmm.
I graduated in 42, and I went to work, the A&P store was brand new. That's up where that, behind where Leo had his barber shop, where that building is where they had karate for a while. I don't know what they got now. And the A&P store was built in just about 1941 or 42.
Mm-hmm.
It was brand new. And, I couldn't afford to go on to college, so I went right to work. And I went in there as a checker. But because of the lack of manpower,
mm-hmm.
I ended up in a month's time being assistant manager, which is a man's job.
Sure.
Now, there's one of the effects. You had girls on the fruit counters, lugging all those heavy boxes, to put that produce
mm-hmm.
up. And the girls were taking, here again in the factories, that assembly line was 10 women doing men's work.
Other factories that had the women employed there, where would they be? We had a tape factory, was that going then?
I worked at the tape factory in the office there, and they had, of course, came with
it. Now, when they say tape factory, that's cloth tape, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did they use it for?
It was
just
woven. The wall work would be done in your early 40s, because I went to work at the A&P, and I got mad at them because I had an appendicitis attack, and they wouldn't give me the time off to go to the hospital, so I said, shove it. And then I went to work for Kenworthy Brothers in the office, and they made first for Marcus Mason's, the tape shop.
Right.
And they were doing the war contracts, and those people were local. Those were the Mason boys, the local Westboro people.
And those were the tape people?
Those were the
J.S.
tape
Mason.
People.
Okay.
It was funny, it was J.S. Mason and J.S. Nason.
And
yeah.
Mason, right. Now, they also were on Milk Street, though, Mason,
uh-huh.
the tape
yep.
people. All
they
right.
passed Village Lumber there, that bacon.
Yep, that big hole in the ground. Well,
yeah.
There's one where Polyform is now. Is that the tape factory as well?
Before Polyform, the right.
Yeah,
between
the
Village Lumber and Polyform
was
where the tape factory was, tape shop.
Okay, and what was the Polyform building? That says
Kenworthy.
And that
That's
was
Kenworthy.
It used to be the Westboro Weave originally. They built it as a Westboro Weave.
Okay.
That was Kenworthy
Brothers. It says right on it, Westboro Weave, if you go
yeah.
up there, you see.
Yeah, and what did they
that
do?
That was Fred Ed Richards. They used to, I don't know what
they
made there.
They did, how am I going to say this?
Westboro Weave.
Your canvas.
Westboro Weave she's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kenworthy.
Yeah.
So Westboro Weave was their first one.
Oh, I don't know what.
Okay,
no,
but
I don't know.
Then they moved down south. I
don't
know
I
what
don't
they
know
made.
What
but
they
what
did
Kenworthy do?
Kenworthy Brothers made,
canvas?
They combined material.
They stuck it together.
For shoes.
Then they could cut out canvas shoes, sneakers and stuff like that.
Okay.
They had these great big huge combine machines, this material would...
Then
so now I have... This is in the 40s
now. Where VIAC was the underwear.
Now, what kind of underwear? Just underwear, regular cotton.
They never did any wall work, though.
No, that,
no, but I'm just talking about
factories.
Regularly factories,
factories,
though. What they would
they
just
made, they made, like, you know, stuff for grants and pennies and all that stuff, you know, like pajamas and stuff for
yeah.
children and stuff like that.
Okay. Now, beside them was
and
there...
And there was a shoe factory.
On the corner of Phillips...
and Shoe was in there, in the underwear.
Oh, yeah, in the same building.
Upstairs. They had the top two floors, and then the bottom two floors was the underwear, and then down in the cellar was that wire weave. They were making wire mesh. And then the next building over was the old hat shop. But at that time, when the fire...
No.
That it was a company that was taking these big hawsers, you know, tow lines, you know, for the Navy, and they put them through these machines and were shredding them all up, and they were making the stuffing for seats for cars, and then
okay.
that's when the fire started in that building and took the two of them right out of there in the house.
Now, was there a hat shop then?
It was always there. No, they weren't there then, but they were when we were kids. That was a big hat shop.
That's the corner of
Phillips.
Well, that was the next next building back. No, the underwear was right in the corner.
Yeah, it was behind it. The hat shop
okay,
was
hat shop.
It.
Okay,
went up Phillips Street more.
Okay.
Yeah, went way back, Street. Almost to Grove Street.
Now, what kind of hats did they build?
Women's hats.
Women's
hats.
Felt?
Yeah. Felt hats. Yeah.
Okay, now, where were...
Then, where you were talking about Marcus Mason, they used to make coffee machine. Cam Guiler ran that. He made coffee machinery for the plantations down in South and Central America.
Where? Oh!
It's where Equipment Specialty is on Brigham Street now.
Oh, all right.
Long gray building. It's right across the Bay State Research and Development Building. Cam Guiler and his brother ran it.
And what was it called again?
Marcus Mason.
Oh, okay. You're saying that Marcus Mason eventually moved up.
No, Marcus Mason and J.S. Mason.
Oh,
that's
I'm
where
sorry.
You're getting confused.
Yeah,
Marcus Mason was on Brigham Street. J.S. Mason was on the corner of Spring and
okay.
Milk.
I had the brothers in the same place.
Yeah,
they
were.
Yeah.
J.S.
Okay.
Mason. They were so many of them.
J.S. Mason was the tape shop.
And so these guys made people before
made
that.
Coffee machinery.
And what was the name of the place again?
Marcus
Mason.
All right, I got you now. That's how he is.
Yeah,
he's the one.
Marcus
very confusing.
Mason was down there, and then J.S. Mason was up with the tape shop.
And then
okay.
J.S. Mason was on
was the
Milk
coal,
Street.
Was the, he was on Milk Street, where the Gulf Station is there, next to Piccadilly Pub is. He was all up and through there, had the,
coal?
The grain and coal and wood business there, J.S. Mason.
And he's local also.
So as you were going up, let's say we're at the corner of Main and Milk, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
First thing you'd come to was...
On the right.
Yeah, oh, we're going out of town, are we?
We're going out toward the...
First, all right, going out toward West Meadow. First thing on the right is J.S. Mason.
Right.
Yeah,
coal
well,
and
well,
grain.
That's where that gas station is now.
And then everybody would go and get their coal and grain
yep.
for their animals
yep.
and everything?
Yep.
Okay.
The yeah. town.
And what was it? What was across the street?
There was nothing
yes,
done
Yes,
there
was. There was
Grange.
Well, no, there was a big block in the corner, you know, where Thompson had the corner store.
Yeah, but that wasn't a factory.
No, that's all right. We're just...
The stores. And then also, what's-her-name was next door to on Main Street, Woodman, and you could come out... The store went in on Main Street, and it came also came out on Milk Street.
And what
George
kind of
Woodman.
Store was that?
A hardware store.
Woodman. Okay. Woodman
and
Hardware.
And he had fellas that would go out and do plumbing and stuff like that.
All right, so we have
then
Mason
then
and
there was
Woodman.
Another store next to that.
Okay.
The Bodie ran one time with a pantry. It was a bakery there one time. Then the next house was they was a big, like, what was a big old house. They used to call it the Beehive.
What
it was just
it?
A, it was apartments in it. It was a lot of apartments, but they always called it a Beehive.
Sounds good. All right. Now, have
that
we got to the Grange yet?
That was just before the Grange
That was
Hall.
Just before the Grange.
Okay, and the Grange
like
Hall used to be
a
church, didn't it?
One time it was the Methodist
yeah.
Church.
Yeah,
Methodist Church, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then that next building is a hardware store now. That used to be a factory years ago. They used to make Gannon, John Gannon, that's Dick Gannon's father, used to make tabs for butter firkins there. They used to hold it, you know, where they ship butter and stuff.
That's
it. And it was a bottling business in there one time.
Okay.
And then you had the house in the corner and the fire station.
And the fire, okay. And then came these...
Going past the fire station was one house.
Yeah.
And then
still
it was,
there.
No, they tore it down.
Oh, did they? That's right, they just tore that down.
Okay.
And then the next thing would be the underwear. It was a big four-story building, great big building.
Was it just called Westboro Underwear?
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you know who the president was or anybody?
Fairbanks.
Fairbanks was associated with more than anybody else?
Fairbanks was five. What was his name? He lived on Church Street.
But that had been around for a long time.
Old
Okay.
And then on the top, they rented it out to two floors to Rasmussen Shoe.
And what kind of shoes they make?
Men's shoes. Very, very nice shoes.
Because there were other shoes, big shoe places. The Genther shoe place now.
Well,
that
years and years ago.
Long before that.
That was back in...
That was 1800.
Yeah, the 1800s. You know, in the 1800s, this was a thriving metropolis because all those, you know, you had the...
Trains.
Well, you had the trains, but you had the biggest straw factory in the world down there, George Bernard.
Yep.
Down where the base, where the ball field was, I told you, where the Bay State Parking is now. And then you had the trunk and shoe, and then where the theater was, used to make sleighs there. But those guys, Bob Johnson told me his father, they'd have a big sleigh, they call it a freight sleigh, and they'd load up all these other sleighs. He'd take off and go for 2 weeks up through Vermont delivering those sleighs in that sleigh shop there. But that was back before the turn of the century.
Yeah.
But that's why so many people came here.
Sure, because, so then when you remember it, though, there was only one place making shoes, which was Rasmussen.
Rasmussen.
And then the underwear, and behind that was this...
Was the Westboro hat shop.
Okay.
Yep. That was there for a number of years there.
Okay,
was
and that
there
was the corner store.
Was there any association between Cartagena and Upton and the hat shop here?
No, that guy... No,
but a lot of the hat people came together. And
well, the people, when that kind of started going out, they went to Cartagena over in Upton because that's all they ever did, those women and men.
That's where the connection is. We're on Ella. Left there.
A lot of the people in Westboro worked in the hat shop.
Right. And see those guys that pull hats, you know.
Pulling hats?
Well, they'd have a block, you know, like it was made out like a plaster of Paris form of a person's head. And then they'd have those pieces of felt, they'd be red hot, and they'd have to pull them down over that to form them, to shape them. God, their hands would be raw. Honest God, like beefsteak, those guys. But they made, in those days, it was good money. Guys made pulling hats, they call it.
Pulling hats.
Yeah. And they pull them down over those farms.
Okay, and the women were working decorating.
Yeah, my aunt. Worked at the underwear shop.
Sewing. I mean, the women in the hat shop made the trims and the bows and all that stuff, had to sew them, because they had a knot. She'd go home at night, but she'd spend hours just threading needles at night and then take them all in. Because it was all piecework.
Yeah.
So they bet. God, they wondered they didn't go blind.
And in the underwear factory is working sewing machines, probably, doing a lot of that?
No, it was weaving.
Cutting? Oh, weaving?
They wove this tape.
Oh, and the tape. Tape factory. Wove the tape.
No, she's talking about underwear.
But that would be
underwear.
Sewing it.
Yeah, sewing. That's right. It was all sewing machines. Because when they get burned out, they set those sewing machines up, I remember, down in the lower level of the Grange Hall to keep them going.
And then the tape, they're actually working the big looms.
It is huge looms, yeah.
And I think what's his name was just starting in business, and if I hit Dave DeHaan up there in the underwear, I think he had a little section of that, and then he went down and built that building down there on South Street.
Yeah, Hayes Leather.
Hayes Leather.
Okay.
He was just getting started.
And the what are Polyform is? That's where you said that Kenworthy's, and they made
pieces of canvas.
Oh, the canvas.
Canvas, shoes,
but,
you know, sneakers and stuff.
So in 19, this, a lot of people, we say most of the people in town worked in these factories? A lot of people.
Yeah, because the Bay State was going.
Now, when did Bay State start? Do you know? Do you remember when Bay State?
I never remember
was the
when
20s?
It wasn't going.
Must have been the 20s then, when if
I
you were a little kid.
I remember when it wasn't going. Yeah, because it wasn't anywhere near as big as it is now.
Yeah, very late 20s that started.
Okay.
Bay State of Bay State.
So were most of the, well, your fathers or most of the men in town, did most of them work in Westboro in these factories?
I don't really ever remember wherever I worked having anybody from out of town. I mean, you were always surrounded by local people. You know, I that's one of the things I found it hard to get used to now, because you've got such an influx of transients.
Right.
You know, whereas in the old days, I mean, you walked down the street, there wasn't a soul you didn't know. And you worked with your own people.
Sure. Your family and everybody that you grew up with.
The people in town depended upon the town. And very few people traveled to their jobs, too.
Mm-hmm. They could walk home go home for lunch, probably.
Yeah.
The tannery down where the...
Oh, there's another factory. Oh, we forgot about
Where's
that.
Where's that?
That was on Beach Street.
Where the housing for the...
What is it? Colonial Village?
Yep.
That right there was a tannery.
That was Westboro Tanning.
Westboro Tanning.
And what did they do?
Tan skins.
Tan hides, yeah.
The skins, they used to come in from Australia, sheepskins, in big casts, and then they'd bring them up from Boston. They'd come on ship to Boston, they'd bring them up here, and then they'd tan them.
And then they sent that out all
over the country? Yeah, all over the country, yeah.
You haven't lived if you've never been in a tanning factory. I had a girlfriend whose father was night watchman, and very often at night, after we got our homework done, if I was staying overnight with her, she lived on the further end of South Street, so it was just around the corner, because we could cut cross lots.
What was it like?
So we'd go down just to keep him company, because he was there alone all night, you know, maybe play cards for a little while. And then we'd go on his rounds with him, and he had to punch these clocks. As he'd go on his rounds, he had to punch a clock to prove that he'd gone on his rounds. Wow. When it came time to come into the mill room, and the mill room was where the raw hides came in, you know, right from the animal, and the floor was what? Grease, and there'd be these planks to walk across, but even the planks would be saturated. You'd have to be careful not to, and the
smell. How long did this tannery go, do you remember?
Oh, God, that was ever since I could remember, too.
Yeah. When did it stop?
They tore that down now? Well, it was torn down probably 2 years before they built the colonial
But it wasn't still going then, though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
as a tannery?
As a tannery.
Puerto Ricans were coming in from New York working down there just before it closed. That can't be gone.
The 60s, that wouldn't happen in the 60s, the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, I was going to say, that can't be gone 10 years.
It's funny because
They get tied on the town sewers. That used to raise the devil with the sewer beds because they used to pump up from the tannery and then it would go gravity from there on the rest of Beach Street down to South Street and it would fill them over. That grease from the skins, you know, would coat over so then they couldn't go down through the sand.
And
they made them put a degrease in down. I remember that. That was a
problem. What about you really had to get used to it.
I guess so. What about, well, we're talking about war. You had to be on rations for food.
Oh, yeah, we had red meat tokens.
Red meat tokens.
Red meat tokens. Well, they weren't just for meat. They were for, like, meat and butter. All of the scarce items. No, I guess the tokens were the
just
red
for
ones
meat.
Just for the
for
meat.
But you did have a war bond book or some kind of ration
book. Yeah, we had a ration book, and so you can only get a certain allotment of sugar or whatever the butter or whatever the scarce items were.
Did people work... making bandages or mittens or blankets?
Oh, yeah, many people worked, you know, folding
knitting.
Bandages for Red Cross, and, there was an awful lot of volunteer work.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ray, what do you remember about the war years around here? Just a lot of the, did it, a lot
I
of kids
about
go?
About the air raid watches.
Oh, yeah.
And
did you have air raids
civilian
every
defense.
Once in
we
a while?
We had drills. We had blackouts. We'd have to close the curtains to in a drill.
Did you have a place in town, the civil defense?
Yes, it was upstairs over the bank.
Upstairs.
Upstairs, over the Guarantee Bank.
What's his name? Had his office on Wood.
Yeah.
Why would you go up? I would think you'd go into a cellar.
Well, they had to take whatever they could get because it was free. I mean, that was all volunteer, you know. There was no money allocated for that.
Sure, but I would think you'd go into a cellar someplace if you were in an air raid, if a bomb scares.
Well, that was back really before the atom bomb and all of that business. I mean, they were just more or less taking...
Blackouts.
It was a blackout era. It wasn't.
Would most of the young men, a lot of the young men in town go?
Oh yeah.
All drafted and everything.
I'll tell you one little item. You know the memorial down in the Rotary. On one side of it is the World War II veterans, and there were more people killed from my class than any other class.
Oh.
I remember I was called upon one Memorial Day to go over.
You know somebody stole one of those eagles off that Memorial Day?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh. There was four eagles, one on each side of that monument. Yep. One was missing.
When did that memorial go up? It must have been after...
Well, that was...
The memorial was up, but the engraving, of course,
yeah,
you know,
came
after.
They changed that once.
Yeah.
It must have been put up when they put the rotary, and then they added...
They changed that whole center.
And, of course, the memorial was up here in front of them.
They had the memorial there, and then I think that flagpole came out of there and went up to the one that was put at the Eli Whitney School. That's when they just took down for the YW.
Yeah, because they
had the one that used to be down
there.
And they put up the new one, and then that's when they changed the memorial in the middle there. World War I, World War II.
I was called upon very unexpectedly to go over to the church over here for the, you know, Memorial
Services.
Day. They have the 25th, 50th, or whatever. And that happened to be 25 years for me. And none of the other kids in the class would even venture. So I said, okay. And we were running the centennial back at that same time, the town centennial.
1967, yeah.
And our bell groups had things all going, you know. And I remember I was due up at the the Armstrong School field up there. We were putting on a food sale or whatever. I mean, there were so many things going on.
But it's 67,
and of course,
right?
My house, Memorial Day, is always loaded, you know, because we're so central, you know, for the
everybody
parade.
Counts, yeah.
That's why they call it Central Street.
Yeah. And then they called and said, somebody's got to go over. Well, that morning, I used to march back then, you know, with the American Legion. And I had just come from there. And
had to give a talk.
So they said, gee, would you please come over? Well, standing around the circle that morning, coincidentally, you know, we finally end up around the square, you know, to hear the selectmen and so forth. I'm standing right in front of the side of the memorial that's got the World War II, and I said to myself, I just, geez, Franny Tully, Freddie Fleming, Roy Parker, all my classmates. And as I was looking at this, and it was the year of my class reunion, and they call on me that day to speak over here. Well, I just spoke off the top of my head because I didn't have time to plan anything. And all I expressed to them were the feelings and the emotions that I had.
To see your friends.
To stand right there, you know. And of course, I always bring my movie camera and get the flag, you know, when they raise it. I'm patriotic anyway. And that's all I did. Sure. And I heard afterwards comments. They said that really that was about the nicest words they had heard for a long time. And it was nothing that was planned.
But so personal.
But it was something that came right from here.
Yeah, from
you know?
Your heart.
And
that must have been something.
The kids leaving our class that couldn't graduate. They couldn't stay home to graduate. My brother had to leave. They did ultimately give him his diploma.
But they took him right out at 18.
They took them right out of, you know, especially the kids like my brother that stayed back 1 year. You know, they were 18 when they were only juniors.
And they were 16 when
you mean they were up to the school, up to the library?
Yeah, the one, the fire. Oh, yeah, we do.
Have a 16mm protector?
So.
I have a movie there, you know. Westville back in 1939, the movie Queen Returns to Westville.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I have it right here.
During 76, I'd love to see it. And we'll want to play that again, in fact. It'd be great. Okay.
That's really not, because, you know, it shows that, you know, the old...
What big battle? Tell me,
Ruby.
Big band area.
Yes, they used to have a big ballroom right up there where the 920 Motel is now, and Diamond Jim's is. And the name was Balalaya, and they used to have all the named bands from all over the country.
Okay, was that Shrewsbury?
Yep.
That was Shrewsbury, I guess.
Shrewsbury.
What about the Red Barn? What was that?
Playhouse. Red Barn Playhouse.
Yeah.
That started before the war.
And the Town Hall Playhouse here.
In fact, they used to make the scenery right out here in the backyard here.
And they were in the 40s, weren't they? They had good summer stock.
They started in the late 30s. You know, 30. Well, they started just after the hurricane, 38.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about the hurricane, but I'll get to that one. Then the 40s, the town must have been quite a bit different when men came back from the war. Did it start really growing then? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, that's when it really started.
What do you remember going in around 1950? When did Iandoli's go in, for instance? And Was there anything built?
Iandoli's didn't go in until 1960.
So things had...
Iandoli?
Yeah.
When did you tear down that house?
That was...
The swamp house.
That's what we call it.
He tore down a house in order to...
Where the Worcester County Bank is there now. They owned all the land. They built that then. That was in the 50s.
Must have been the late 50s.
When you were growing up, or let's say in the 40s, there was no commercial development, right, beyond the railroad bridge? There weren't any stores or anything?
The only thing down there was Tufts Machine Shop. That used to be an old car barn for electric cars.
Okay.
Well, we had nothing like that.
So there wasn't
Route
anything going on.
Route 9 was very limited, as a matter of fact. There was very little on Route 9.
Route 9, or there was Brigham's Greenhouses there. And
Brigham's Greenhouse is on Lima Street?
No, I mean, that was on Lima Street, and then McGuffet's were on Route 9.
Yeah.
So there are a couple of greenhouses.
That's where they just put the new technology park in there. Westboro, what do they call that one, right there?
Yeah, Executive Park, I guess, or something. Now, what was McGuffet's?
Greenhouses.
Like a nursery, or?
No, greenhouses.
Greenhouse.
Just
like the green flowers.
Oh, yeah, there was a carnation.
Yeah, in fact, the daughter there, Sylvia, she did all the floral decoration for Kennedy's inauguration. Sylvia McGuffet. But she was married. Her name was Owens.
Did the carnations come from Westboro?
They grew right there.
At Kennedy's inauguration?
No, at McGuffet's and Brigham's. They grew
Yeah, I know, but they grew them. But the ones that used at Kennedy's inauguration?
Yeah, it came from Westboro. She was in charge with Sylvia Valencia.
She was very talented.
Yeah.
Okay. And how do you spell McGuffet? M-C-G-U-F-F?
M-A-C.
M-A-C.
G-U-F-F.
A-R-G?
It was two words. Mac.
Yeah.
G-U-F-F.
Guffin. It's a Scottish name.
G, G, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, G. I don't remember.
Guffog. Okay. So there was nothing really beyond there until...
Let me get one of my old street lists here. Maybe I can find the spelling.
Until...
On Route 9, there was, you know, nothing up there. You know, it's like Route 9, if you're coming in from Westville there, that... Hooper, Bill Hooper, he had a little gas station on the edge of Route 9, and then he had some overnight cabins up back there. That's where Mass Electric is now.
Why overnight? You mean like little motel things?
No, they were little cabins, little overnight cabins, they call them.
Why would they call them? Who would sleep in the overnight, in the overnight cabin?
Well, anybody that came.
You mean like a motel
Hell
thing?
Hell yeah. That's,
yeah, that's
they
right.
They never had the motel, but they were overnight cabins.
Okay, that was in the 50s
yeah.
too?
Oh, this was, yeah, way back then. That was way back when. If you're talking about coming up, you know, there was nothing on Route 9, you know, and you come up, and then he had that place, a little gas station, he had a house up and back, and then as you came back, coming back towards Westboro, I said Emory had an arch there. He had a little stand there, a little building for a stand, and come back this way a little further, Ada Fenway had a house up there in the hill there. That's before you get the Western... geophysical,
yeah.
Up on the hill, and across the street from her was the Freibergs. I don't know if you remember their house up there. In fact, they moved their house a while ago,
okay.
But the original one burned down.
So
they had a farm, the Freibergs farm. They bought that all out now for GTE. And then where Western Geophysical was Thompson's Lodge. That was the spot for everybody went to congregated there, Thompson's Steakhouse. It was Redwood was the name of it. A fella built it as an ice cream place. They had the wood come right in from California. The California Redwood came in there. And that's what the name of the place, Redwood. But it was Thompson's Lodge, a steakhouse. It was everybody in Westboro you could ever live went to Thompson's Lodge.
Really?
Then as you come down the street, there was then the next place right across the street from them was Farrah's Cabins. They had the same thing. A house, and then up behind it was those little overnight cabins.
Interesting. People would come just on a trip or
yeah,
on their
traveling.
Way someplace,
yeah,
traveling through.
Yeah, traveling. Just going there. Then you come down a little further.
That's in that now. The Farrah's Cabins are
right,
where now?
Right across from Western Geophysical. There,
okay.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
And you come down a little further, and that place where Bob McGorick is, not Bob McGorick, Bob Matthews is now. There was overnight cabins there. Mrs. Waite had a place there, and there was all cabins out there. Went all the way out to like East Main Street.
Wow. Okay. Now, then there was a red barn
there.
Still.
Huh?
Then the red barn
then
was
the red
there.
Then the red barn was down there. But right as you're coming down across the street from where Bob Matthews is now was a place that she used to take people in overnight tourists. Tinny Brigham's had a house there. Then come down, and there was a big farm there where the Fox Lounge was. That was the 1880. They made the place in the barn, and the barn burned down. That was the original Fox Lounge. Was the 1880.
And that was
a
restaurant.
Big, yeah, there was a big farm, and the house was next to it. But the barn they made into a nightclub, and that was the 1880, and that burned down. Then down this where Tom Foolery says now was the Red Barn.
Yeah. Okay. And then was there anything else?
No. Then there was a house in the corner. They tore down for Friendly's, and they tore a house down for McDonald's.
Okay.
And then went down where Cap Barber's lives now, and then up where that new place is where they get that beautiful building and all nice landscape. That's where McGuffin's was.
Okay. That's the Carnation
yeah.
greenhouse.
Yeah.
And then...
Then there was a building on the corner they tore down for...
1G.
Okay.
McGuffin. 1G.
Okay.
I had to go back to 1959.
And then there was a big house that they tore down for where Burger King is now. The big old farmhouse there. And then on the other corner, they tore one down for the mobile gas station.
Okay.
And then...
Forbes Tavern had been burned, was burned down, but that...
Well, they moved that part of it. They tore the other rest of the house down.
Yeah.
You know, they moved that. And
but then there was...
Going up the street, there was the... Then right there where Abdow's is now was... overnight cabins, they were out in a little half circle.
There were a lot
yep.
of cabins.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I think it's because it was Route 9, it was the main drag going from town to town.
I gotta tell you a story, this is the truth. This Waite's up where Bob Matthews is now, Mrs. Waite. Now, there's a married woman with three children, and she went in Ned Heckman's. This is up where Swan's is now.
Yeah.
Ned bought old man Swan out, and she went in there. And she said, I can't understand it, she said. I put in hot and cold running water. She said, I put even put in Simmons in a spring mat. She said, still the nicest young couples you ever want to meet. Still, they only stay an hour or two.
That's good.
Honest to God, she was just as serious as could be.
She wanted them to stay alone.
Yeah, honest to God.
At least a week.
I still can't understand it, she said.
That's cute.
She wanted them to stay all night. But there was a lot of. Then you went up by, and then there was actually, there was a house where the Tom and Joan Cuddy is now, and then Bergson's house was there. Then there was a house right opposite. Bergson's, a beautiful house they tore down the Lyman School.
There was a four, but it was called the Wesson Tavern was one of those that they tore down.
You know, and I don't know if it's still up there, but the doorway was still up in the barn at the Lyman School with the sun burst right over it. Oh, Jesus, that fabulous. They tore it down. That's the only thing they saved from it was the whole door assembly with that sunburst. I think they call it, didn't they? Sunburst.
Fan door, I think it's fan. But, okay, so then there really wasn't anything till Lyman School, right?
That house was right across from Bergson's.
Yeah.
Then there was nothing. There was a big house in the corner of Milk Street that's there now, where you turn on to go to Worcester. And then you
there was nothing. It was really
what about
then
the
you went
Speedway?
Up across the flats there.
The first the thing only that house came in was the Speedway.
When did the Speedway come in?
1946 or 7.
Yeah, because he worked up there as a farm.
But then Cajoins lived out there. They had a farm right out there where Westboro Toyota is now. They had a farm.